Good evening. Let's all stand. Welcome to Sunday evening service. As you can see, we have transformed the sanctuary to be Christmas, and so it would be appropriate to start singing tonight with two Christmas hymns, Joy to the World, and then Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. So let's lift up our voices as we sing, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs Let's Leave Thy Throne. Who was a brand new to some of you? Yeah? All right, good. It's been in the hymnal. It's an older hymn that we've had for a while. And I wondered if there was anybody who wasn't familiar with that one. So I thought, it'd be good for us to learn some of those this Christmas season. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on our service tonight. Brother John, would you mind doing that for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house tonight and to be able to sing praises to You, Lord. And we just thank You for the gift of grace that You bestow upon all of us and the love that You give us all. And we pray that everything is done here tonight in Your will. And we pray God watch over all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And let's continue in singing, This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. And then Sweet By and By. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing.
good to have each of you out this evening. Boys and girls down below practicing for their Christmas program. We're so grateful for those who are working with the kids. Let's open up our service.
We
already prayed?
Yeah, we're 4 songs in already now.
Man, we're only 5 minutes after.
Yeah.
Wow. Those deacons are long-winded up there in that meeting there. Okay. So we're already past Sweet By and By. We just did that.
All right. Would you please stand one more time, and we'll lift up our voices again as we sing, Sing to the King, and then My Life is in You, Lord. Sing to the King.
And turn with me, please, to Psalm 31. I'm going to take us down two verses, 23 and 24. Title of our message this evening is Love the Lord. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. Part of being a growing Christian is learning to read through your Bible and then look for things in your Bible that speak to you. If you're not careful, reading the Bible becomes a rote motion. You just do it. It's kind of like reading your street signs. You glance at them and you move on. And sometimes you don't even think about what they really say. But the Bible, and I challenge everybody to read the Bible through every year. We mail to you actually a schedule to be able to do that, and I am all for it. But sometimes if we're not careful, we treat the Bible somewhat like a punch list. You know, I've done this, I've done this, I've read this, I've read this. And we don't go through slow enough to really look and listen. Sandra Jo has, Sandy and I have a gator, a John Deere gator that she uses on the property to drive around and do her gardens and all that kind of stuff. And I use it too to maintain my fence line. And well, there's a front hood on that gator that I cannot get open. I've seen it open. The dealership, when I had some work done, I saw they had the hood open. I have gone out there and I have pulled that tab underneath. It is a tab down inside. I've pushed, I've pulled, I've twisted. I have tried everything. And I have a manual. So I sat down the other evening and I went ahead and went to the section of opening the front hood. And I read down through that again and I thought, I have done all of this. And then I just slowed way down. You know how you do that? You just slow way down and you read every single word. And I thought, you know, I don't think I've done it in the exact way. Because they're saying you got to do this and this. Why they have a magic hood release, I don't know. So, there's nothing in there. But so I read it in great detail. Now, I haven't yet tried it, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to try that again and see if I can do it. I was reading it quickly, you know, and as I read it quickly, so now I've read it specifically. Sometimes we have to do that with the Bible, too, where we just slow down and look and read at what it's saying. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at only two verses, but within these two verses is a lot. And it's a lot to remind us of why we love the Lord, why we as individuals have a passion for our God. So listen as I read to you these two verses in Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." So as we approach this, as I told you, the title of the message tonight is simply Love the Lord. And that's because that's how he starts off. He says, "Oh, love the Lord." And then notice, what are the next few words he says there? "All ye his saints." So who's he talking to? He is talking to us. He's talking to those people who have put their faith and trust in the Lord. He says, "All ye saints," all you that are the children of God. And certainly we live in a Catholic enough society here in Vermont, although I think it has diminished some over the years, but there was such a heavy Catholic influence that oftentimes people in our community and where I grew up in Massachusetts, when you heard the word saints, you never thought of Christians. You thought of people who were voted in at the Vatican, something, somehow they made them a saint because they did X amount of miracles, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what a saint is in the Bible at all, is it? A saint is a believer in God. It's somebody who's put their faith and trust in the Lord. So he is talking to us. He's saying, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints." And then we take just a moment and we look at the very next phrase. He says, "For the Lord preserveth the faithful." Now, when I think of preserves, I think of something that has been made safe. Sandra Jo and I watched the other day a documentary on canning. We watched such exciting stuff. But they had a whole thing about American industry of canning. Isn't that cool? You know, they showed how it came from just boiling water and putting things in and how it advanced. and how that our great-grandparents, the first cans that came out, literally were leaded. They had lead lids on there, all leaded in. And of course, then they found out that they were damaging everybody by having lead in their food. So they made some changes, and before you know it, they did that whole crimping thing. Don't you love that on your cans? All the cans, it's like, you know, the seamless standing seam roofs where it's all crimped, no lead. Isn't that great? And then, you know, we would cut the open the lid, but it was very sharp edged. So now they have new canning things where you can cut that lid off and you can take a balloon and touch that lid on. Have you seen that commercial? They run that right on a balloon. There's no sharp edges. Canning has become so advanced. But the goal was just to preserve, wasn't it? And so when you look at here, he's saying to you and I as Christians, he says, the Lord has preserved the faithful. So what do we preserve from? We certainly know that when it comes to food, we're trying to preserve from things like botulism and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to preserve that food so that it will be good and healthy. So what's the Lord preserving us from? Well, for you and I, there are really three things that remind us that we are constantly being attacked. Satan, the world, the flesh. For all of us, every day, that is our battle. Fighting against Satan, the world around us, and even our carnal nature, our flesh. Certainly when it comes to Satan, you think of Job chapter 1, verse 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? He says. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And immediately we are reminded of the work of Satan. As he goes to and fro, because he is still out there, still today. He's going to and fro, up and down, all around the earth. He's watching and looking. Of course, what did the Lord say to him? He said, have you noticed Job, my servant, how faithful he is? And Satan's response was, yeah, well, he's only faithful to you because you're good to him. That back and forth, you see that there? You and I, we are preserved through our Lord. We are preserved from that constant onslaught of Satan attacking. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. That God telling us, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because we really do have an enemy out there watching and looking. A few years ago, I was at Joy's house with Sandra Jo, and we were standing in the living room. It was in the middle of a snowstorm, and we saw on the other side of Joy's pasture, along a wood line, we saw something trotting along, slinking along through the deep snow. And Joy said, Dad, that is a mountain lion. And I said, Joy, I don't think there's any mountain lions here. She says, no, it is. And we watched it, had a long bowed tail, and it slunk through the snow. I told her, I said, Joy, that is not a mountain lion. She said, Dad, I'm telling you, it's a mountain lion. She went ahead and she hiked through like 18 inches of snow just to get over there to see if she could see any tracks. But it was snowing heavy, heavy, heavy. Was it a mountain lion? Do you know in the news, just one county over, a mountain lion had gotten hit by a car. Was it a mountain lion? I don't know. But if it was a mountain lion, I would not want to be out there. Mountain lions are big. California, they have mountain lions who attack people. God warns us. He says, Satan as a lion, mountain lion, African lion, no lion do I want to come face to face with. He says, as a lion, he seeketh whom he may devour. And he warns us. He says, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Why? Because God wants to preserve us. He wants to protect us from Satan, who is going to and fro, up and down the earth, looking for those who he could damage. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And of course, that's the Lord talking to Peter. He's warning him. And that carries over to us. So when we start talking about God preserving us as his saints, we understand that he's wanting to keep some things away from us. He's wanting to keep that onslaught of Satan away from us, but also the world. Matthew 7:6 says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So what is that verse saying? It's saying that you and I, those spiritual truths that we count so precious, our Christian walk, our Christian habits, our faith, we need to be careful that we don't throw that to the swine for it to be trampled and pushed into the mud and for them to turn back and rend us. He's saying we need to be wise the things we do in this world. This evening, as the deacons and I were sitting and we were talking, and we're talking about going into the Christmas season and all that's transpiring. You know, we want to be wise. We're opening our windows on Sunday morning. We've added more time between our two Christmas Eve services because that's what the state had said to me last year. And so we do all of those things. Why? To be wise. We want to be careful the way we deal with the world around us. Neither do we cast our pearl before the swine. Sometimes Christians have a tendency when they're dealing with lost people to get off mark and to toss things that are really way too spiritual for them to understand before them. And they just rend it. They trample it. For you, your primary purpose in dealing with lost friends in the Bible, it's not about whether they should smoke or drink or whether they should chew tobacco or whatever. That's not your primary goal in dealing with lost people. Can anybody tell me what is the primary purpose?
To give them the gospel, to let them know God loves them before you love God.
Yeah, it is to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, as he wrote his epistles, he said, the only thing I want to know about you is I want to know about Jesus Christ. I want to know, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? All that other stuff, we change that as God changes us. He helps us to grow and mature and advance in our faith. But for you to sit down and take things that are important to you spiritually and try to tell a lost person why you tithe, why you go to church three times, they think you have two heads. They can't comprehend that at all. But to talk to them about your love for Christ, that, if they don't understand it, it's because Satan has blinded them. But that is the purpose and message we have for a lost and dying world. So yes, we're looking for God to preserve us, protect us from Satan, from the world, that the world would not rend us. We are looking to go ahead and make a difference for Christ through the preservation that God gives us. But not only the world and Satan, but the flesh. Those are really our three primary enemies. The world, the Satan, and the flesh. As far as the flesh goes, Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. And of course, the Apostle Paul talks about that battle within himself. Here he's writing about it in Galatians. It's because within us, we have the Holy Spirit who desires to live for God. But the carnal man, the flesh, it desires to satisfy itself. So we every day are in a battle. And God wants to preserve us from that. He wants to protect us and help us. He wants to enable us and strengthen us so that we can find victory in our spiritual life. So when he says to us in verse 23, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the who?
Faithful.
The faithful. You see, that's the key.
You and I have to decide to be faithful. We've got to be faithful so that that war against the carnal man and our spiritual man, we come out victorious. God's preserved us. That war that we have against the carnal world who doesn't understand and would close us down if they could, we've got to be faithful. Faithful in our presentation of the gospel. Faithful in ministering to our community. Faithful in living for Christ. Yes, even faithful in the eyes of Satan. He needs to see that we're serious about our faith. We are not pushed around. We're not going to cower down. We are going to stand strong because God has preserved us. So we need to be the faithful. It is important in our Christian life. So we take time, we read down, and we look and we say, am I somebody who understands God's preservation in my life? Am I being faithful so that he can do a work for me and enable me? And then he comes down into the second part of verse 23. What does he say here? He says, and he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. That's an interesting phrase because the Bible tells us that God hates pride. But he says here, I plentifully reward the proud doer. So for me, I step back and I look at that and I want to understand that. What is God saying to me? He's saying those who are proud, but more than just proud, they're proud doers. Did you notice that? Because there's one thing to say that somebody's proud, but there's another thing to say they're a proud doer. That means that their pride has escalated to the place where you can see their pride in action. So we step back and we look and we think to ourselves, what is it that the Lord is trying to get me to understand concerning that pride? We understand that God desires us to lay ourselves aside. In fact, he tells us we should esteem others better than ourselves. We're supposed to minister to one another. That's a goal and an objective every Christian should have. For us to become Christ-like, what did Christ do? He humbled himself. He left heaven, took upon himself the form of a man, born of a virgin, in the home of a carpenter, in a village community. Now, he could have arranged things. God can do anything. Christ could have been born amongst the greatest, wealthiest, most powerful of all the world. But that's not what God chose to do. He chose to come with humble beginnings because he had a humble ministry and a humble objective. So we look here and we understand that he is doing a work and he recognizes those who work against that. Some of the examples of the proud doers, think of Satan himself, cast down from heaven. Think of Adam and Eve, cast out of the garden. Think of King Saul in the Old Testament, passed over because of his pride. Let's look at a couple of those. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And let's think just a minute about how that Eve and Adam went ahead and allowed their pride to get a hold of them. Because that's what Satan did. He got in there and he worked her and kind of manipulated her pride. Said, well, oh no, you surely shall not die. You're just going to know as God knows. And her pride said, well, I ought to be able to know like God. And that fruit sure looks good to eat. I'm sure I'd be fine. And what happened? Of course, they partook of that which was forbidden. And I want you to notice with me in Genesis chapter 3. Look with me at verses 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So what happened? Adam and Eve were cast out because of their work of pride, because of their response, their disobedience, their rebellion. They were cast out. Think about King Saul, king of Israel. Certainly give an amazing opportunity to live for the Lord, lead the nation of Israel. He really had every opportunity to be a great man of God. But what happened to Saul? Saul got caught up in himself. When you read through 1 Samuel, when you read through the events and life of Saul, you find a man who got caught up in his own pride. And then his pride drove him to do things that were against the Lord. Look at what the outcome of that was. 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you'll turn with me there. 1 Samuel 16, verses 13 and 14. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. Did I say Samuel or Saul? I said King Saul, right? I think so. Good. Because now we're talking about the prophet Samuel. And I didn't want to have him flipped. Because Samuel's good and Saul is not. So then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So what had God done? God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint David, because David is going to replace King Saul. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So when you look at this verse in Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24, when you look at this verse that says to us that God plentifully rewardeth the proud doer, you see that the Lord stepped into these people's lives. Adam and Eve cast out of the garden. There, flames preventing them, the flaming swords, the angels preventing them from going into the garden. Why? Because they were cast out. God responded to those doers of pride. Same thing with Saul. Same thing with Satan being cast out of heaven itself. So when we look here, the Lord is reminding us, love the Lord, because he does respond to those doers of pride. He does go ahead and bring forth his just punishment as he sees fit. You and I as Christians, pride should not be a part of who we are. Yes, we can be bold. The Bible teaches us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Yes, we can be confident as the children of God. The scriptures teach us to be confident in our relationship with him. But pride is another aspect. It's a whole nother part of our human person. And he says to us, there's no room for pride in our lives. Why? Because it's God who enables us. Our victory, our strength, it's of the Lord. We give him the glory and honor. If you're a successful businessman, listen, God has given you the victory. If you're a successful businesswoman, God has given you the victory. If you're an amazing mom, God has given you that. You give him the glory. Yes, you be confident. You go ahead and be satisfied. Yes, you be that individual who boldly comes before the throne of grace. But he expects us to give him the glory and honor. People struggle with that because they want to be self-made people. They want to go ahead and say, no, look at me. Look at my awards. Look at my achievements. But all of that should be pointing to Jesus. Amen. I remind myself all the time, and certainly COVID has reminded me, as fast as it can come, it can go. I have definitely met people in my life who've said to me, I was a millionaire, and then I was penniless. I've met people like that, because as fast as it can come, it can go. And even church. You know, we have seen through the years our congregation grow and grow and grow. And COVID kicked the wind out of our sails, didn't it? And we have seen a decline. People are nervous. They're afraid. We've had people move away out of the state of Vermont. We've, we've had lots of things happen over the last going on 3 years. As fast as it comes, it can go. So all that God does and all the victories and all the wonderful triumphs, we want to point to him and say, Lord, you deserve all the glory and honor. It is not us. We rise and fall based upon your will, and we rest in you. Empower us, enable us, help us. Give us the wisdom, the insight. Give us the drive and the hard work. But Lord, you get all the glory. That is why when you come to a text like this, he reminds us, the Lord notes pride, and he certainly notes prideful activity, that which we do out of pride. We see that through the scriptures, through the whether it be New Testament or Old Testament, he recognizes that. Even the Tower of Babel, you remember? They built it, and they said that they would be able to be as high as God, and he brought it down and dispersed the people. Why? Because of their prideful doing. So when we look at verses like this, it reminds us of the scriptures that we learn about the hand and work of God. So out of just this verse 23, we've learned some powerful truths about God preserving us, and also about him plentifully rewarding the pride. Then look what he goes on to say in verse 24. Be of good courage. You and I need to be a people who are of good courage. We need to not be afraid. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So for us, we look at the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation. We put our hope and our trust in the Lord, whether it be our salvation or our daily walk. We lay aside fear and we embrace hope. Our hope rests in Christ alone. We remember that love casteth out all fear, our love of God. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John 4:18. And I think our computer guys are faster than I am in finding the books of the Bible. 1 John 4:18. Oh, he beat me again. But look down with me if you would. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So God's reminding you and I that we need to be of good courage. Our love in God and God's love in us, it casts out fear. Whatever it is that's transpiring in your life or my life that makes us afraid, we need to lay it aside. And we need to say, my rest and my confidence is in you, Lord. There's so many things in life that come and go, the transitions of life. Kelsey just stepped into a massive, massive transition in life, didn't he? Because little Forrest came home. And so Kelsey's life is faced with many changes. Just a couple weeks ago, he was the most important person that walked in the front door. When he got home, Mama had the meal made. Maybe she had his slippers at the door. I don't know. But do you know what happened when Forrest came home? Guess who took second place? Sorry. But all of a sudden, that baby's got to be protected, nurtured, fed, cared for. And it can do nothing for itself. So poor Kelsey, he says, boy, I'd really like a glass of water. Yep, just a minute. Because Forrest needs to be taken care of. See, that's a transition, isn't it? I went through it when Joy came home. William went through it when his little one came home. And so didn't all of you. Mom has to focus on junior or juniorette, right? Has to happen. Those transitions come. You may fear it, and God says, don't fear it. I will walk with you through it. my love in your heart at work, you don't need to be afraid. And I have talked to young couples, oh, we're afraid to have kids, we don't have enough money. Listen, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Don't be afraid. I've talked to young people who say to me, well, we're just going to live together. We're not going to get married because what if it doesn't work out? We're afraid. I tell them, look, if you're going to live together, get married. Do it right. Don't be afraid. Work through it. You and the Lord. There's so many things that this world teaches us to be afraid of. And God says, don't be afraid. Step up by faith and do right. Live a life that honors God. Lay aside those fears, whatever they may be. Be of good courage, he tells us. Face life knowing that the Lord is with you. Jobs. Lots of people are afraid to change their job because what if? What if? Well, you know what? If God's laid on your heart to change your job, step out. Go ahead and do it. Try it. Let's hope that turns out okay. Be sure it's of the Lord. Amen? Amen? But people live in fear of so many things. And really, if you'll just walk with the Lord and trust in the Lord, you'll find that that fear will fall aside. Be of good courage, he says. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I love that verse. It just reminds me, stop worrying about everything. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop worrying about every little shadow that pops up around you. He says, tomorrow will take care of itself. You're going to face that day when it comes. Stop fretting and worrying. Be of courage. Face life. One thing about living to get older is you look back and you say, boy, you know what? Some of those deepest valleys God took us through and we're fine because God gets you through. So you face those things with courage. So he's teaching us some principles that are so real in life itself. Love the Lord. Why? Because he preserves the saints. We rest in him. We have him. He gave us his Holy Spirit to strengthen and enable us. Be a person who recognizes that pride is something that hurts. It does not help. Be of good courage. Why? Because God is there for us. He is there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And then the last thing in verse 24, because we want to make sure we're going to do that latch just right on that gator. We want to look at every word. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I like that the Bible tells us that he will strengthen our hearts. Because life can be hard, can't it? It can pull you down. You can get weak. You can get discouraged. I was just reading a text actually this afternoon that was talking about discouragement and depression. David struggled with some depression. You see it in the book of Psalms where he can be just worn down. But at the same time, he recognizes and says, hey, wait, God will strengthen my heart. God will strengthen me. And we must always look to him and remember that. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He shall be in you. The Spirit of God shall be in you. You are strengthened by the very Spirit of God. That is an amazing truth. So when you lose courage, when you're afraid, when you're dismayed by what's going on in life, you have to look for God to strengthen your heart. to give you that ability to stand up and face what's coming. Matthew 28, as we come to the end of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, what did he tell his apostles? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Then the next couple of verses, he says, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, he said, "All strength is given to me, all power is given to me, and I will be with you until the end of the world." So when we look at this text and he says to us, "Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord," he's talking to you and I. And he's saying that as we face life, look for God to strengthen you. I was talking to Paula Jean today. Sandra Jo talked to Paula Jean today. She had seen her sister come to faith here a little while ago, and Paula Jean's been doing Bible studies with her. She bought her a Bible, and her sister had advanced cancer. And here a little while ago, her sister said to Paula Jean, "You know, I'm hoping I don't really suffer in a lot of pain as it comes to the end." And Paula Jean's been praying for her and praying for her. And you know, last night she went to bed and she woke up with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. No pain, no suffering. Her sister simply went to bed last night and woke up in heaven. Isn't that amazing how God answers prayer?
Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes in ways that we would not anticipate. Paula Jean's praying for her sister to not suffer in pain as her cancer advanced. And the Lord said, "You know what? Paula Jean, you're such a faithful servant of mine, such a faithful witness of mine, I will answer your prayer." And your sister simply went to bed at night and woke up in her heavenly home. You can't beat that, can you? When we look at the scriptures and we look at our lives, we understand that it is God who strengthens us. We rest in him. We put our faith in him. We love him. Why? Because he preserves us. He preserves us in our daily lives. He preserves us in our spiritual lives. Why do we love him? Because he notices the doings of the prideful. He notices the handiwork of the wicked, and he rewards them accordingly. Why do we love him? Because he strengthens us to be of good courage. We need courage in life, and he's the one who gives us the strength to be of good courage. He ends it by simply saying to us, "All ye that hope in the Lord." We have to rest in that hope in him. Just as I read to you Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life. Our hope rests in God. I was talking to an old preacher here. He's passed away years ago. He preached all the way into his 90s. And one day he called me in my office and we were chatting. And he said something to me, and my response to him was, "I hope so." And he stopped me in my tracks. He says, "I don't like that word hope." He says, "You know so, preacher. You don't hope so." And I was respectful because he's 90 years old. But I like the word hope because it's a biblical word. And I do walk in hope. Yes, I have confidence and courage and boldness, but I also have hope. Whenever the devil creeps up and he puts in doubt, I grab into that bag of hope. And I say, "No, I'm going to trust in the Lord. My hope is in him." So he ends this verse 24, by telling you and I to be people of hope. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming out for our prayer. Well, it's not prayer or Bible study. It's just Sunday night service. Amen? Amen. They're working with the boys and girls down below doing their Christmas program. And we're looking forward to that. That's just around the corner as well. From Thanksgiving to Christmas, click, click, it goes fast, doesn't it? We appreciate so much everybody coming and helping decorate. It just, it's always so wonderful, so beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
If any of you have a friend with a lift, I had tried to line out a lift because our Christmas tree out here, our tree with the star at the top, our star broke and fell down inside the tree. And I have tried to get a lift to get back up there and rebuild that and have not been able to secure a lift. If you have a friend that has a lift, we would love to get up there and repair that so that we can use it this Christmas. But other than John, I do not know anybody else who can shimmy up inside that and get up in there and fix that without a lift. That's a high tree. I've been up there. It's way up there. You asking Paul to help you do it?
I'm just saying Paul's got all of the technique to shimmy up that tree.
I think he's been in my tree.
Oh, okay. So you guys know how to get it done without a lift.
I dial 911 if he falls off.
No, we don't want anything to do with 911. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Lord in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come and look in your word tonight. And we do love you, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you do in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be a faithful people that walk with you. Help us to genuinely, sincerely take your truths, apply them to our lives, that we might honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight.